Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul and Jordana back with you. Hope your day is going well. Happy Tuesday. True confession time, Jordan. I am a proud helicopter parent.
Are you? But your boys seem to have launched pretty well.
My youngest son was in the Navy. He flew helicopters.
He's so doing just fine.
I'm a helicopter parent. Proud of both boys. But I did not realize there was even a step above helicopter
Correct.
Parent.
Mm-hmm. Or I guess below.
Below?
Because the helicopter's in the sky and this is on terra firma. But okay, go ahead and continue. I'm sorry.
Snowplow parents. Plowing down everything in their path. Why did you give Johnny an A- on this college exam?
It's stunning.
There are parents that do that.
It's stunning, really, the things that we are about to share with you.
Yeah.
And if you are a snowplow parent, feel free to call in
Please.
And defend yourself at 651-989-9226. Or maybe you are a recovering snowplow parent. You know, you realized you were having like a celebrity smackdown about your kid's fourth grade math exam. And then you took a step back. I was like, you know what? Kid needs to learn how to do math on his own. I'm going to take a step back.
But here's the deal. You would almost expect that fourth grade, fifth grade. But in college?
Insanity.
Or even if your kids have graduated
Insanity.
College and they're in their 20s and you're still mm-hmm. making these fundamental decisions for them instead of letting them figure mm-hmm. it out, mm-hmm. make their own mistakes, learn where the bodies are buried and, mm-hmm. and basically how to get ahead on their own.
There was a poll that looked at about 1,500 people from 18 to 28 and 1,100 parents of people that age. And it found some really troubling things. Now, if you are a parent of someone the age of, 18 to 30, listen up and let us know if you are guilty. 76% of parents reminded their adult children of deadlines they needed to meet. Yes, including schoolwork, like if they were still in college when they were 18, but through 28. So it could have been, reminder, I'm calling you to wake up for that big meeting you have at work. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No.
74% made doctor's appointments for them. If you're in college, you can go to the health center on your own and you can make your own appointments. Mama does not have to schedule your gynecologist appointment at the health center. Trust me, she does not want to know about that. And Lord knows if you're grown, get your own health insurance and find your doctor because that's what adulting is.
I almost fell off my stool when I saw this stat. 11% of parents with adult children will call their child's employer if he or she has had any kind of an issue at work. One in 10 Americans.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? I don't know what you say if you're a boss.
You know what you say? You say, this is grounds for dismissal. That you calling me here leads me to believe that you don't even trust your child to have a job. So why should I trust your child to be employed here? Really, honestly, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. You would never do that. That would be sabotage. Would you ever do that? Your boys are gainfully employed.
No.
Has it even crossed your mind to call their boss?
Both of my boys would mug me. They would pummel me to a pulp
if I
tried to do that. 8% of parents in this survey, Jor, said they contacted a college professor or administrator about their child's grades or a problem they were having.
I wonder, too, if it was on behalf of the student. Like, did the student call home and say, Mom, Dad, can you call up Professor so-and-so and have a talk with them? Or did the parent do it behind the child's back? Can you imagine a teenager? I mean, my teenagers don't want me to talk to their friends or anybody at their school. So I can't imagine them saying, hey, can you call the school and work this out for me?
If there was some sort of an emotional problem or an eating disorder.
Well, that's different. That's a health issue.
Concern about drugs. I mean, then I can see wanting to coordinate with a college. But hey, my son got a bad grade. What are you thinking here,
can
prof?
You imagine how humiliating.
Yeah.
22% of parents help the kids study for a college test. 16% helped write out part of or all of a job or internship application. No. 14% told them which career to pursue. This one I think I disagree with, and maybe this makes me a snowplow parent. 14% helped them get jobs or internships through professional network. See, Susan said she's done that. Here's the deal. I think that's actually what parents are good at. Like we have a network. We have connections. We're grownups. We live in the world. I think you're smart. If you're a 21-year-old kid out of college, you go to your parents' friends. You go to your parents and say, who do you know? Who can I network with? Who can I call for a job or an internship? Absolutely. I've helped other kids, friends' kids, get internships. And I've sent other kids, you know, hey, you should apply for this job. You should apply. Let me know if I can help. I'll make a call for you. I mean, I think that's just being smart. That's good networking. So does that make me a guilty snowplow parent?
No, I don't. It makes you a concerned parent. I don't think it elevates you to snowplow parent.
I mean, I'm not paying anybody to give them a job or get them into college, A, because I don't have the money. But I would absolutely make a call or make a recommendation or introduce them to somebody in their field so they could get a job.
Am I missing something? As parents, we try to help our kids avoid some of the same mistakes we made, and yet invariably they're going to make mistakes. They're going to make their own mistakes, and they have to. You can't learn without making mistakes.
And that's
right?
What the parenting expert in the article says. Growing up means making your own decisions and sometimes making mistakes. And that's, I think, where we get this snowplow parenting label. When you don't let your kid make mistakes, when you don't let them fail. I mean, that's the you can see the visual of the snowplow. You're paving the way. You're clearing a path for them instead of letting them forge their own path. And I think that's a good way for you to keep your own check. You know, am I making this too easy for the kids? You know, as a parent, look, we question ourselves. Now, none of us has ever done this perfectly, or else they would have written the book and we'd all be perfect parents. But I think that's the gut check there. Am I making it too easy for them?
So how did this happen?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, the obsession. And, you know, we all care about our kids.
Sure.
I mean, that hasn't changed over the ages. But is it the technology now? It's easier for us to go in and check and keep an eye on things and
I don't know
track
that
our kids.
And by the way, I don't know that it's any worse. Now they're doing the study, so they see it. But did you watch Mrs. Maisel on Amazon?
I have not yet.
Did you watch it? You watched it. All those boys that got out of college went into the business of their father or their uncle or their friend. There was one scene where he says, I don't even know what I do at work. He had some big corner office. He goes, I don't even know what I do. Uncle Andy gave me the job. So I don't think that this is any different today than it was back then. The nepotism and the helping out and the parents plowing the way. I don't think it was that different, but we are doing a disservice to the people who are having the way snowplowed. Who knows? Maybe that's why the divorce rate has been so high over the past 30, 40, 50 years, because you don't learn how to work out problems. You don't learn how to make grown-up decisions. Again, I'm just kind of spitballing here, but this has been going on for a long time.
George, 12% of these parents gave more than $500 a month for rent or daily expenses. And I struggle with that because, I mean, again, maybe your child has not launched for whatever reason. You want to help them out.
Sure.
You want them to be independent. You want to get their butts out of the house. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
But you can't leave them homeless.
But is that really helping your son or daughter long term if you keep supporting them financially?
But just in case my parents are listening, if they would like to send me a check for $500 a month.
You'd cash that check?
I would cash that check so fast. You have no idea what camp costs these days. I got Hebrew school. I got trips. I got a lot of expenses.
Clothing? Want to buy me a new
blouse? It would help out now. Not as a 20. As a 20-something, I could support myself. You know, you could eat ramen or you could, you know, just drink and skip dinner. Now, man, there's a lot of expenses. Just kidding. Mom and Dad don't ever listen to the show, so I'm not worried about it. 11% helped write an essay or school assignment. 4%, get this, wrote all or part of an essay or school assignment. Did the whole thing?
Wow.
That's a problem. And what teacher doesn't know that an adult wrote that essay? Come now, my friends. Although I don't think it's bad to help. You know, my kids write their essays or they have me look over their math homework. I don't think it's bad to help.
I think correcting for pronunciation is okay.
Okay, that's fair.
Vocabulary, but yeah, it's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. If you're writing, you know, a big chunk of somebody's essay, that
huge problem.
That doesn't fly.
Yeah,
and it's not helping your young person long term.
This expert in the Julie Lithcott-Hames, she wrote a parenting book about just this. She says you can't just arrive them at the future you want for them. They have to do the work to build the skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can't just plant them.
They have to want it.
In the future with the house and the wife and the dog and the kids that you hope for them. They do. They have to work to get there. And that's good advice, but it's hard.
It is hard.
We want to make a good life for
our kids.
Sure,
it's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Parenting is hard, man. Parenting is hard.
All right. When we come back, why the Prime Minister of New Zealand is a personal hero of mine. She said some things that floored me. In light of this horrific massacre a couple of days ago that left 50 people dead in two mosques, I explain why I think she is the real deal when we come back on CCO. Georgina and Paul. Can we be that
start
today?
Calling you that, Paul.
Paul. Pablo. By the way, Henry Lake joins us at 5:35. If you're baffled, stumped by your brackets, you have no idea what you're doing like me, Henry's going to have some advice for us. Of course, he's the newest addition to the CCO family. He does an amazing job.
Yes.
So high energy.
Excited to have
great
him.
Great information. Mm-hmm. Great guy. I saw this today, and I wanted to mention this. I mean, so often we have to talk about bad news. And every now and then there can be a silver lining. Something good comes of a horrific event. And what just happened in Christchurch, New Zealand, was obviously horrific. 50 people dead in two mosques. The 28-year-old Australian man who is charged with opening fire shall remain nameless forever, according to New Zealand's Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. She basically asked people in the media and others to follow her example. We in New Zealand, she said, will give him nothing, not even his name. Ardern's decision not to name the perpetrator of the attack offers a blueprint, perhaps, how to deal with terrorists by deflecting the attention from the perpetrators back to the victims. And again, one more quote from the Prime Minister. He sought many things from his act of terror, but one is notoriety. And that is why you will never hear me mention his name. He is a terrorist. He is a criminal. He is an extremist. But he will, when I speak, be nameless. And to others, I implore you, speak the names of the lives who were lost, rather than the name of the man who took them.
It's beautiful.
And that just struck me. I mean, she's taking a brave stand. I think she's doing the right thing. And hopefully others will follow her lead.
Just a beautiful, peaceful, respectful way to help mourn and grieve through this process. She also wore a hijab when she went to many of the memorial services, just showing a lot of grace and respect for the community that lost so much. And really, how world leaders should handle things like this.
Yeah.
She is doing an incredible job. Unlike, let's say, Devin Nunes. Devin Nunes is a representative from California. He is suing Twitter. Suing?
Why?
I thought you'd never ask. He's not only suing Twitter, he's suing several of its users. Forget this. More than $250 million.
Because why not?
Defamation and negligence. There are two anonymous parody accounts. One is called Devin Nunes' mom. The other is called Devin Nunes' cow. And he is accusing them of accusing Twitter of knowingly hosting and monetizing content that is clearly abusive, hateful, and defamatory. I'm talking about this before the show. When people are famous, they're held up to different standards of what is defamatory, what is libelous, because you're famous. You're in the public eye.
You're a public figure.
Exactly. You open yourself up to criticism. You know, we had a Jesse Ventura case for this very same thing. Jesse could actually prove damages that he lost work or he lost speaking engagements after the American Sniper incident. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that Devin Nunes can show that he has suffered any damages.
And it just makes me want to go to Twitter and check out those accounts.
Absolutely.
Kevin Nunes is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it looks like he has zero chance, by the way, of making this happen, which makes me think he only did it for more notoriety. Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act gives immunity for social networks from liability and material posted by users. So pretty sure he's not going to win this thing against Twitter, because Twitter probably has immunity. But Nunes also alleges this. This is interesting. Alleges something called shadow banning of conservatives. It means Twitter can censor some viewpoints that it doesn't like. Like, let's say Devin Nunes posts something, and Twitter's like, I don't know, whoever runs Twitter, like the wizard behind the curtain. I don't know who runs Twitter. Yeah, I know. Somebody at Twitter's like, I don't really like that tweet, so I'm going to shadow it. So that means that Twitter users can post freely, so they think their posts are going out, but Twitter shadows it so no one else sees their messages. Twitter has, of course, denied that any of this is happening. Other political conservatives have alleged the very same thing. But boy, don't you think if Twitter had that kind of technology, they'd be using it against some of these radicalization handles and some of the hate speech? I mean, Twitter can't possibly have the manpower to look at everybody's tweet before it goes out.
I'd like to use that technology if it exists on my wife. I'd only like to hear the good things and filter out the bad things, the words that cannot be repeated, the things she compares me to.
Only the good things.
But
shadow banning.
I think we're giving Twitter a little more
way too much credit.
Credence. But there is a move afoot on the part of some politicians to hold all the platforms responsible for the content that is posted.
I'm all for that. I'm not so much for censorship, but I am against hate speech. And I do think the social platforms have a responsibility to stop the radicalization, to stop the hate speech, to stop the incitement to violence. So absolutely. I don't think they have a responsibility to shadow ban Devin Nunes or even Devin Nunes' mom's Twitter account. But by the way, I think it sounds like a conspiracy theory. Twitter says shadow banning isn't real. It's a fallacy, like the Wizard of Oz.
Wait. That's not real.
It's also
Wait. Those flying monkeys are not real?
Do you know that you are in a bracket?
Oh, God.
This is so fantastic. So Surly made Surly brackets. They're called the Surliest Winter Ever. They are posted on the Paul and Jordana Facebook site. Go to these brackets. Paul is in the bracket, in the
one of the options called
the Bears of Bad Tidings region. That's his region. We'll see who he's up against in the brackets next. So Surly has created brilliant, I mean, hilariously funny, laugh out loud, nod along style bracket for our Minnesota winter here. It's classic. It is posted on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. There are four regions. The insult to injury region, they're bearers of bad tidings. That's your region, Paul.
Yeah, great.
You're competing.
Yeah.
You're number nine. You're ninth seed in there.
Ninth seed, yeah. All right.
The general malaise region and the Metrodome roof RIP region. It's so funny. And they're, it's in such small print. Let's look at Paul's region. The bearers of bad tidings. Like, for example, the number one seed is 511-MNORG MnDOT. That's when they tell you where's a snow emergency.
Yeah.
You get the alert.
Yeah.
Well, they're up
it's
against
a good site.
They're up against the 16 seed, message from the post office to shovel out your mailbox.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's who's worse. So probably the shoveling the post from the post office. That's worse, right? The snow emergency, can't really do anything about.
Is that what we're voting for, though?
I think you're voting for the worst.
Which of the two is worse?
I think we're voting for which is worse. At least that's how I would.
All right.
That's how I would do it. Which is worse, okay? There's a number eight seed, the ticket under your wiper, or the number nine seed, Paul Douglas, Star Tribune. I take a little umbrage to this. I'm voting for you anyway, but why didn't they say Paul Douglas, WCCO Radio. Now, I know you've been writing for the Star Tribune since the earth cooled, and that's great. But Paul Douglas is on WCCO Radio. He's going to yell at me about the joke.
But which is worse?
Like you're the bearer of bad tidings. I mean, you're it, dude. You're telling us, you know, it's going to be the polar vortex. I'm going to say you go all the way.
You know, families approach on the street, and the fathers usually shoo their kids
away from you.
Behind them, yeah,
scaring
like, hey,
small children.
Stay away.
Don't speak to him.
Yeah.
He brings the snow.
Yeah.
So you know what? I'm going to vote for you on that one. Okay.
I'm worse.
The next one in that bracket is number 5 seed, the weather app on your dumb phone. Your weather app's good, though, the Aris app. And then it's against number 12, Sunbelt Relative, letting you know that it's 78 in Tucson. All right, I hate that guy.
Oof, yeah, that's rough.
That guy sucks.
That's an
so
easy one.
That guy wins. You're going to be going up against that guy very soon.
Okay.
Oh, here's another one. Matt Brickman, WCCO, against Ian Leonard, Fox 9.
Huh.
So one of them has to win.
I like them both.
I like them both.
I like Ian a lot, though.
The auto mechanic, who's the 6th seed, calling with the estimate, because you slid into that person, or Dave Dahl on KSTP. I think the auto mechanic wins that. Dave Dahl's a nice guy.
Hmm.
You know, we don't want to make him the worst.
No.
Number 3, your school district. Mm-hmm. Another snow day. Or number 14, the furnace repair tech calling with the estimate. So you see how this goes.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Check that out.
Hilarious. The insult to injury region, let me just share a few. Getting plowed in after snowing is the number 1 seed against the number 16 seed. Why is my house making that noise? I've asked that many times.
The creaking,
this
the
summer.
Popping.
The pop. Yeah. What is happening?
Not supposed to do that.
So really funny. Surly, great job. We gave him credit for it. It's up on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. You can fill out your surliest winter ever brackets, and I'm still pulling for you to go all the way.
Thank you, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure I want to win that one. Henry Lake does an amazing job for us here at CCO. He just started his show, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Check it out. It's a lot of sports, but it's not limited to sports. Mm-hmm. Henry talks about whatever is on his mind. Mm-hmm. And we needed some assistance. We needed some help, some adult supervision.
Honey, we need way more brackets. Help than Henry can give us. I mean, we need a lot of help.
Henry, thank you for taking a break from your meeting here to join Jor and me today.
Oh, no, not a problem. I I was hoping that Jordana was going to be able to give me some picks when it comes to the NCAA bracket.
Oh, boyfriend, I will.
That's the reason why I'm chatting with you guys.
Oh, honey, it's Syracuse all the way. It's always Syracuse.
Yeah, she's,
always.
No. That's the wrong answer with me, Jordana. Mm-mm. Clearly, you weren't listening last night where I talked about how I'm not the biggest fan of Syracuse advancing in the tournament.
Mm. You know what? Your phone is breaking up,
Henry.
I think this interview is over.
I think you're onto something, Henry. I think that was prescient.
I think the call dropped.
No, on the money.
No, sorry.
Hey, so Duke has the best chance of advancing to the Final Four in the entire field, a 53% probability. Are you high on Duke?
I'm high on Duke because Duke, number one, they have an amazing coach in Coach K. He just, you know, he's a winner. He's a legend. He knows how to get his kids to play to the highest of levels. And then when you look at the talent that's on his roster, there's so many kids that are just players. And when you look at Trey Jones, you got the local connection here, the kid from Apple Valley. Hopefully he gets an opportunity to play in the Final Four right here in Minneapolis. And they have Zion Williamson, who's everybody's talking about him. He's going to be the number one pick. Everybody's comparing him to LeBron James and all the other freak athletes that we've seen in years past. So he's the X factor. He's the guy that nobody can defend. And I think that's the reason why Duke has got a great shot at winning the whole thing and obviously getting here to Minneapolis.
Henry, a lot of buzz about, obviously, Michigan State, Virginia Tech. 538, the website, said that one of the likeliest first-round upsets is number 10 Minnesota beating number 7 Louisville. You think that could happen in your heart of hearts?
I absolutely think it could happen because when you look at the way that, you know, one of the things that we say oftentimes when it comes to the NCAA tournament and tournament games is different styles make for different fights. You know, you have different styles of play coming from different conferences. And so when you put these teams together, a lot of times you can throw out the seed. That's the reason why we have so many upsets. And when you look at the matchup between Minnesota and Louisville, both teams like to get up and down and transition and play that way. So when you have Amir Coffey being able to score buckets in transition and playing well, Dupree McGrier actually able to get it out in transition and attack the basket and score buckets, I think that that bodes well for the Golden Gophers. Now, Louisville, on the other hand, they do have more athletes. They have more athletic players. But I think that this is a great opportunity for the Gophers to win a basketball game. I think it's a flip of a coin. I think it could go either way. But according to Vegas, when the Vegas line came out on Sunday, they had Louisville at minus six, you know, predicted that they were going to win the game by 6 points. I think it's went down to five now. But as far as I'm concerned, it's officially a pick 'em game.
All right.
Henry, if there were going to be a Cinderella, who are you liking? I know you're going to say Syracuse, but who are you liking as your Cinderella?
If there was going to be a Cinderella, it would not be Syracuse. I will say this in your defense, though. Syracuse is always that program that when they have a lower seed, as in when everybody believes that they're not going to make a run, that typically is the year that they make the run. I will say that. I will admit that. I said that a couple of nights ago, that it seems like Syracuse is always a team when they're at an 8, 9, or 10 seed, they end up going to at least the Sweet 16 or better.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the lower seeds, of the lower seeds that I look at on the entire bracket that could actually make some noise, I think that the seed that could get out there and really cause some trouble could be UC Irvine. Okay, they got a pretty good basketball team, and they're facing Kansas State. Although I believe that Kansas State is a really good team. They tied for the Big 12 this year and winning that conference title with Texas Tech. I think that Kansas State is the better team, but K-State has a really big injury that has come out of the last 10 days, and that's Dean Wade, their senior. He's, I don't say he's the heart and soul of the team, but he's the heart and soul of their front court, of the big players that they have in the post. And he, it sounds like, his career could essentially be over, and he could be done for the NCAA tournament. He didn't play last week in the Big 12 tournament. If Dean Wade is not playing and UC Irvine is able to pull off the upset, they could win a couple of games in the tournament, which would mean that they most likely would face Wisconsin. And I'm not a Badger fan at all because I'm a Gopher fan.
Oh, it's a good thing Dan Cook's not here.
He'd have something to say. Hey, in the West, you know, we got Florida State. We got number 10 Florida as possibly a Cinderella team. But it's hard to go against Gonzaga, right? I mean, the Zags, 70% probability of reaching the Elite Eight. Do you agree?
It's funny that you bring that up because Gonzaga is the team that I have making it to Minneapolis out of the West. But of all the teams in the tournament that scare me when it comes to the sleepers and the teams that you look at and say they can make a long run, I think the Florida State is a really good team. Huh. They're really athletic. They play great defense. Two of the better defensive teams in the entire country are located in that West bracket. You've got Florida State, who's the 4 seed, and then you have Texas Tech, who's the 3 seed. Both of those teams are really good defensively. Now, they both are teams that get stuck offensively, and at times they take some bad shots. And when you're in tight ball games and when you are, you know, coming down the stretch and down to the wire, you got to have some really good shot selection. So that bothers me about Florida State and Texas Tech. But both of those teams could advance. And Florida State, I'm glad you mentioned them, Paul, because they're a really good team. And I think they have the makings of a team that could get to Minneapolis, but I'm concerned about them late in game.
Hey, I've got a question here. Okay, Virginia looks good in the South. And in the Midwest, hard to go against UNC. But why on earth is the University of North Carolina in the Midwestern region?
That's a good question.
Were they drunk when they figured this out? What? Am I missing something? Why aren't they in the East?
No, it's
the South.
Well, because it's Duke. You know, Duke is the number one overall seed. So they want to skew it in terms of, like, they want to give the highest of the seeds the better opportunity for their fans to get to, you know, their
game.
That
makes sense.
You know, and moving forward. So I have no issue with them. I mean, North Carolina should be happy that they got a 1 seed, which they got. I actually have Kentucky coming out of the Midwest. I think they will face North Carolina. And I'm not a Kentucky fan in terms of looking at them and saying that they are a team that possibly going to win the national championship. But I feel like of all the teams in the country, Kentucky is one of the top four or five teams this entire year that's improved throughout the year. When Kentucky first played, they played their first game of the year against Duke, and Duke beat them by 20-plus points. So now you say, okay, that's quite the shellacking to take on the very first night of playing NCAA college basketball. But they've improved so much throughout the year. I really think that they're going to have a great opportunity to get to Minneapolis, and I have them coming out of the Midwest. Now, you mentioned Virginia out of the South. Virginia's a fine ball club. They've had an extremely good year. But remember now, everybody has been snake-bitten with Virginia throughout the years. Mm-hmm. Virginia has been that program that has gotten to the tournament, and they always end up getting booted out of the tournament early. And remember last year, Virginia was the number one overall seed. They weren't just a one seed. They were the number one overall seed, and they were the first number one seed to get ousted out of the tournament by a 16 seed last year.
And this is why you listen to Henry Lake from 9 to 1,
yes.
Monday through Friday.
He gets it done.
On WCCO. Henry, we're late for the break, but you're the best.
Henry,
thanks,
you're
love.
Amazing. God bless. Thank you. I needed that. We needed that.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, a little bit of perspective on the flooding. Every year is different. Every flood scenario is different. How does this compare with 2011 and 98 and 93 and even 1965? How concerned should we be? The most concerned now, Red River Valley from Fargo up to Crookston. But how concerned should we be right here?
And the textilizer. It's like a breathalyzer for your phone. But you don't blow into it. Cops can look at your phone and see if you were texting or playing Candy Crush or doing something that possibly made you cause an accident. And they're testing it in Nevada, and it sounds like a really good idea.
Looks like it's coming. What do you think about that?
Big Brother and the police, and maybe it'll help slow down.
Or does it violate my constitutional rights?
We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll see you at 3.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.